it to us, but Dwight Hostetler, most of us know you, but maybe not everybody.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. My wife, Cindy, sends her greetings to you. We had family come in, our daughter and son-in-law and grandson came in from Pennsylvania. We knew they were coming, but I'd agreed to this service before that we knew that. But they came, and then we had other family come in to enjoy that. And so she said, "I'll still come." And I said, "No, you just stay home and enjoy the family." I was sure that you would understand. But she just says, "Greetings to you all, and thank you for your involvement in our lives." So thank you so much. Before we go through the slides, I'm going to share with you a little report of what God's been doing. Some things, maybe you've read some things in the course of time with some of the prayer letters, but we'll put some things into picture form so you to understand a little bit maybe clearer along the way here. So I want you to turn in your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, but I want to concentrate mainly on just a few of the verses toward the end there. But I think it gives us the context that we're looking at here. So Romans 10, and I want to start with verse 5, please. Romans 10, verse 5. I'm reading out of the New American Standard, so if just so you understand, and if my version is a little bit different than yours, just bear with it, and I think you'll be able to follow along. Verse 5. For Moses writes of the righteousness that is based from the law, that the person who performs them will live by them. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will go up into heaven, that it is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word, and I like that in my Bible, it's capital W-O-R-D, capitalized. The word, Jesus, is near you, and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ, Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? But how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings or good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the time to share together what you've been doing in our ministry, in our lives, and this ministry as a result of their involvement in us and with us together. And so we just ask that you would open our hearts and understanding and just give clarity as we share together. And may you be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, certainly the last part of that verses we read, talking about how this salvation is available for all, and anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then in verse 14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? How are they to hear without a preacher? And I want to just add, maybe preacher does not necessarily mean the one behind the pulpit. Someone who's declaring. And you declare Jesus, I hope, in your life, from your life, through your lips on a regular basis, in different ways. It certainly includes the preacher in the sense of behind the pulpit, but it doesn't exclude others, is my point here. Verse 15, but how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so you as a church have been a part of our ministry with Word of Life for many, many years, probably from the very beginning of our going forth. As you know, we were in the ministry in a number of different ways and settings over the years. We were with RBM Ministries for 11 years. Then we were with Independent Bible Mission for 2 years up in the Thumb. And then we were the pastor at Edwards Corners Bible Church for 16 years. And then we went with Word of Life and now have been with them 11 years, 12 years now, 12 years. And so the Lord has been very good, and we are thankful for his involvement in our lives, and we're thankful for your involvement, your passion for the gospel, your commitment to sending people forth to take the gospel to others. And so I want to give a report and just share what God's been doing and what he is doing now, and just kind of give you some update of what's going on and where we're going as a ministry within Africa. We travel, we live here in the United States now, and we travel, particularly I do most of traveling now, with Cindy taking care of her dad and different things. He's 92, so she's pretty close to the home base right now. He lives alone yet, alone, put that in quotations, please. But she's there 2 to 3 times a week, just checking in on him and checking with things and different stuff. So, but I make anywhere from 2 to 4 trips, depending on what's going on, into Africa, back into South Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Uganda, are the main countries that I travel back into. And to teach and train pastors, and teach at the Bible Institute, young adults. And so the Lord has provided opportunities to do that. And we'll be sharing some of that with you tonight. So if you'll start the slides, I'd appreciate it. And I will get my little clicker. And I think I can try that. Oh, there we are. We are advocates for Africa, and that's just a nice word to say we're representatives. With Word of Life, and our whole main focus is on Africa, the continent of Africa. Let's see if I'm getting this right. Oh, I did. Okay. In June, I took a trip to minister to pastors in Zimbabwe. And this just kind of gives you a little bit of context where Zimbabwe is. You can see way up in the corner there, Zimbabwe is toward the bottom section of Africa, almost directly west of Madagascar. And it's a country, landlocked. It's used to be known as the breadbasket of Africa. And then when can't pronounce his name right now, leader came into power, and about 6 years after his leadership, the country went downhill and is still on the downward direction. Economically, it's in bad shape. But the churches there are... and the people there have a great heart for the things of the Lord. And yet they need just people to come alongside and encourage them and help them. Our ministry in South Africa, we've been going up into Zimbabwe as a ministry, running kids camp, teen camps, helping churches with youth group rallies, evangelistic things for the last... 15 to 16 years at least, we've been going up there. And since we came on the field in South Africa in 2016, We've been going up there to help and minister to the pastors and to work with the pastors. And we'll explain more about that. So it just kind of gives you, we'll see this map a couple times along the way. This is a little bit different map. We went there to Zimbabwe in June to minister to pastors in these three locations, Matuko, Kadoma, and Tindé. We entered, when we came went into the country, we entered through that little place called, kind of down toward the bottom section and clear to the west, to the left, a little place you can barely maybe see it. It's called Plum Tree. And the next place just to the right is a place called Bulawayo. And we'll be talking about some of these places. The Lord blessed us for that trip. One of the professors that I have worked with over the years, teaches at Calvary Bible Seminary and College and University. He wrote a book called Hermeneutics for Everyone. And we were able to raise the funds to take a book to each of the pastors and leaders there in Zimbabwe. And so we took these books. I had to buy three duffel bags because regular suitcases, you can only put 50 pounds in a bag. The whole thing can only be 50 pounds. So the bags themselves weigh anywhere from 8 pounds or so. A duffel bag doesn't hardly weigh anything. So I was able to do that, sort my clothes and different things around, and get them all in there. Excuse me. Didn't have any issues checking them in. And just praise the Lord for that. And they got there, and we were able to then take them with us and to distribute them. We were concerned about crossing the borders. And we've done this other things in the past, and we've had some troubles along the way at times. They want money and, you know, other things to. This time we had no issues, and they just went right on through. So we praise the Lord for that. This was Cebu. I landed in Joburg Thursday, June the 5th at 8:30 p.m. Got a night's rest, and June 6th was prep day. That meant we were buying groceries and getting things around and getting notes printed and all the things to take with us, to go with us for these conferences. I was teaching through the book Hermeneutics for Everyone. Cebu was teaching a different topic, and three other men were teaching also a topic, a different topic. So getting all that stuff together and organized is what prep day was. June the 7th, 3 a.m. in the morning, by vehicle we left for Zimbabwe. And I did not drive that first leg. Two reasons. One, I've only been one day in country. I'm still dealing with jet lag. Two, when you go from the U.S. side to Zimbabwe side, you're driving on the different side of the road, on the different side of the vehicle. So, and I don't usually have any problems, any issues, ultimately, but it's good to at least just ride and see it for a little bit before you get in behind the wheel and do it. So that's what that was about. And he's a great driver and just does a super. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. So Zimbabwe, again, just to give you some context, Botswana, Mozambique, and Zambia to the north. At one time, Zimbabwe and Zambia were northern Rhodesia and southern Rhodesia. So things have changed over the years. But we came from South Africa, went on up into Plum Tree, and then first we had to cross into Botswana. So that was first border. Then we crossed into Zimbabwe through Plum Tree, so that was the second border. Often we would go from South Africa to the Bright Bridge right down here at the bottom, and just have one crossing. Much larger, but that's where they give you troubles. And if we go through Botswana, they don't give us any troubles. They're smaller borders, and they just kind of let us go, okay? So that's why it's the time frame, you know, hours on the road is about the same. So we spent 17 hours, and we came in from Plumtree, went into Bulawayo, picked up some team members, you'll meet them in a minute, and then followed that red road to the right up to Kwekwe, going toward Harare. Okay, Harare is the main capital. So that was 17 hours of driving, and we get to late at night, about 9 o'clock, and then they serve us dinner. Because they're waiting for us, and they're waiting to feed us. And so we had a great time with them, a family that we've known over the years, and what a real blessing. Sunday morning, June 8th, I was preaching at one church. Cebu was preaching at another church, and I did not need an interpretation, and he did not either, because he also speaks the native language. But had a great time with the people there. It's a church that was established years ago by Team International, one of the team missionaries, years ago. And this pastor, Matthews, we've known him for 8 years or so, I don't know, something like that. So we had a great time with the people. Then we had lunch. That's a picture of all those that we had lunch with. And Pastor Matthews, his wife, and some of the girls are there. You see this guy, Cebu, here in the very front. The next guy next there, that's Joseph, one of our missionaries in Zimbabwe, Word of Life missionaries. And then I'm there in the background, and then toward the right there, there's a guy in a purple shirt. That's Samson. He's the leader of the ministry in Zimbabwe. So we picked up Joseph in Bulawayo and Samson in Bulawayo, and then they traveled with us on up to Kwekwe. Sunday afternoon, we headed for Harare. Harare, you keep on following the red trail up into Harare. We get to Harare, we had to buy groceries, because we are providing some of the food for the conference the next morning. And we didn't have time in the morning to go get groceries, so we had to get it that evening. We were able to do that, and then we went to one of our other missionaries who just moved into Harare, and we went to their place and chilled out and went to bed. Next morning, we headed for Matuko, I should say. And we were there Monday and Tuesday. See, some of the people who came for the conference, they brought some of their children. It was fun to watch them play. And you'll see there's a couple guys, little boys, and there's at least one or two girls. And it was funny to watch them, the difference between them. And how the boys, they just were reckless and crazy, and the gals were a little more petite and a little more cautious about things. But it was fun to watch. So our typical conference run one whole day and a half a day. And then we travel the half part of the other day, and then we start the next conference. So this was our team members here. Cebu, Samson, Yona. Yona is the guy, and his wife and family moved into Harare. And then Joseph, he's a single missionary. And then myself there kind of hiding. But Samson is married and his wife and children. And Cebu's married in Joburg with some children. Yona's married and he has now 3 children. And Joseph is working on it. He's working on it. And I mean that literally, he's working on it. This is part of some of the ones that were there for the conference. This is open for leaders in the conference, different churches, both pastors, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, so on and so forth. And I'm teaching through the book of hermeneutics about that and working with them. This was the first year that we handed out certificates. A year ago, they asked us, have you ever considered given a certificate for your teaching. No, I never really thought about it. It was like, but this is, seems to be a big deal to them. So it was like, okay, we'll do this. So we did. So each of them, if they were there for most of the sessions, they got a certificate of completion of that work that we went through. Zimbabwe, as you see there, we went Tuesday afternoon, we left Matoko, and we traveled back through Harare, got groceries again, then traveled back down the same road we had been on earlier and came down to Kadoma. It's a community there. And we've held a conference in Kadoma for the last, this was our fourth time with those pastors. And we've gotten to really get to know them quite a bit. So that's a lot of fun. Matuko, that's the first time we'd been in that area. So that was totally new pastors. There were some of the pastors that helped us get going in Matuko that had been at last year's Kadoma conference. That was from Harare, and they said, we want you to come back to Harare area. So that's kind of how that kind of came to be. This is the conference in Kadoma. You see the structure there. The house, or the building in the foreground is the pastor's house. This is the church facility, open walls. They do put some kind of skirting in the front for like a front display. And then if it's really windy, they'll put tarps around the back or around it somewhere to help catch the wind and so you're not. And at this time of the year, this was their winter. You know, we're in coats and jackets. I'm in a sweater vest type system. If we're just sitting out in the elements, it was fairly cool. I wouldn't say cold, but cool. So 11th and 12th, we were there. Again, handing out the certificates. In the top picture, that's pastor of the church. He and I was having a good time together. This was one of the ladies that came, and she was a lot of fun. But we at that conference, we had about 50 to 55 pastors and leaders. At the previous conference, we had about 34. And so we had a great time. So I taught in each conference, I taught 6 hours total between the 2 days. The other four guys, they each taught an hour. And so that's how the conference would flow. This is on our way back from Kadoma. We then went back into Bulawayo, and we met up with one of our associates. He's the tall, thin guy in the middle of the group there. He works at a coffee shop. His name is Remington. Remington started out as a camper. He ended up going to the Word Life Bible Institute in Uganda, and he's been looking and praying about becoming a missionary, but he's an associate right now with us, and he works with the ministry and the youth in Bulawayo, and we rotate or connect with him. So it was good to meet up with him and have fellowship for a little bit. And then we got in the car on the 13th, and we traveled all the way straight up from Bulawayo, straight up on that red road. And we see the big star there, and that's where Samson and Dora live. He's the director of the ministry there, and they live in the village. They don't live in a town, they live in a village context. And that road, typically you could travel from Bulawayo to his property about 4 hours. It took us at least 7. The road is atrocious, horrible. It is a main road that's used by truckers, buses. You see, just clear to the north, Vic Falls. That's a tourist, big time. And that road is traveled. That's the only main road up through there, and it's traveled by everybody. Phew, you're going to see it in just a moment. Well, this is the village of Samson. This is his huts and different things that he's built. That's where he lives. I don't know, if you want to see the moon and if you want to see stars, come with me to Zim. It's just awesome. This is at night. And just a blessing. On the Saturday the 14th was a down day. We just was chilling. We all had contracted a cold. And so we were enjoying just some downtime and recouping, refreshing. And then on Sunday we did travel to Tinde to begin the conference on the 16th. But Samson and his family treated us very well. This is the road. And this is actually pretty mild for some of it. These holes here, probably 6 to 8, maybe 10 inches deep. That further one up there, the bigger, wider one, that's probably a good foot down. And the sides, they fall off a good 12 inches. And that's the road. And you see that big vehicle coming? I can't remember I think that's a bus. And remember, we're supposed to be on this side of the road. And he's on that side, coming our way. Why? Because you don't drive on the left or right side, you drive on the smooth side. And we did too. Sometimes we are clear over that ditch, going down the road, just trying to, get through. I drove this section. And I'm telling you, I got over halfway through, and I was just flat out exhausted. Manual transmission, you're stopping, you're slowing down, it just was crazy. But the Lord provided. Oh, it does move, doesn't it? Okay. It doesn't have sound, that's what they said, no sound. So the bus did get over, that's good. And they're flying. I mean, we're trying to go, maybe we can go 40 miles an hour at times, but normally we're down to 20, even lower at times. And they're going 45, 50, and they're just going. Their shocks are better or something. I don't know what the deal is, but crazy, crazy stuff. Well, we get to Tinde. We had been here once before. 3-4 years ago we were here. At that time their building was just a more of a adobe type building with a thatch roof on top. They're now building an actual block building, and so that's how far they've gotten so far. They're just doing it when they can and as they can. We taught right out in the sun, out in the open. It was beautiful days. Sun was nice. I burned my head. Well, my head got burned. But other than that, we were good. Now, you're not going to be able to hear this, okay, because the sound isn't working. But they're singing for morning devotions. No instruments. They're just using their hands to keep time. Their feet, and if you could hear the sound, they're actually singing, stand up for Jesus. That's what they're singing. And I could hear them a little, but not too much. But just good to worship with them, and a lot of fun. And some of these guys, there's at least two of them that walk, I think it's 60 miles just to come to the conference. Pretty humbling when you really start thinking about it. And there I am thinking, something like that. This was a gorge we were up on 10 days, kind of up on a plateau, flat, and then we went to a certain area and there was this gorge running through it, and we were down in there, water there and that kind of thing. And then this gentleman that I'm here standing there, he is my age or maybe just a year or two older. But he had been there before, so we recognized each other and so on and so forth, and had a good fellowship, reconnecting, and some of our team and some of the other pastors that were there. That was our smallest group. I think we had about 20 pastors and leaders there. Well, we left Tende on the 17th. We traveled from the Binga area to Bulawayo. On the way, we dropped off Samson. He went home. Joseph stayed in Tende because that's where he's pretty much resides, that area. We went to Bulawayo. We spent the night at a friend's house. Yona was with us. And then he left Bulawayo in the morning on the 18th back to Harare. Sabu and I headed home through Plumtree and back to Joburg. And about 14 hours from Bulawayo back home. And then on the 19th, I flew out back to the U.S. So that was my trip in June. So since then, as you know, I teach at the Bible Institute in Uganda. Some of the things that maybe you aren't aware of, because we didn't talk a lot about this in prayer letters, because there was a ministry takeover that happened in Uganda. Let me explain that a little bit, okay? The Word Life Ministry has a property in Uganda that houses a K-12 international school. It also, has all the staffing and all, everything, okay? It also houses the Word Life Bible Institute in Africa. And then that's where I would go to teach, and they would have resident professors, so on and so forth. And the local church ministry, all the local Word Life ministry was hubbed in that location as well. When the ministry started 15 years ago in Uganda, it was started by a board and a group from Kenya who came and the first director of the ministry there. Well, there's an old law on Uganda books that says that if at any time the original board or director feels the ministry's not going the way it's supposed to, they can step in and take it back over. And that's what they did. And I won't go into all the details, but it was a hostile takeover, what it basically amounts to. We just learned less than 2 weeks now. It's been going through the NGO, Ugandan board, and government side of things, and our lawyers and all our people are there working through the paperwork and all the presenting all the details, and their side was there. But in the process of all this, they literally took over the buildings, took over the running of the school, all these things are in, but our missionaries are kind of pushed out, finding different housing, different ministry places, the hub, all that. And the Bible Institute was kind of put on hold. So a week and a half ago, we got word when they met with the actual board, the NGO board of Uganda, they ruled that the hostile takeover was not legal. And it all came back to us as Word of Life. So we are really praising the Lord for that. I don't know what the actual figures are, but that ministry, over the course of those years, raised, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars to build the structures and all the things that went into it. So it was a big deal. And so now the ministry will continue there in Uganda at the Word of Life African Bible Institute. That's what WOLABI stands for. And so we're really excited about that. I will have the privilege of teaching, not this group, this was last year, but I'll be teaching not in Uganda this semester, but I'll be teaching in Kenya. Because while this thing was in limbo, they decided to open the Bible Institute in Kenya property until this was settled. Now that it's settled, hopefully in January they'll come back to Uganda and so on and so forth. But these were the students last year. Had a great time with them, and I'm looking forward to it because I leave on the 30th of October, go to Kenya to teach a different group of students, but teach students there. I'll be teaching Christology and the book of Judges this time around. So I'm looking forward to that. Oops, let me back up just one. Also, you won't be able to hear them sing. This is Bible Institute students last year singing. This was the classroom. This was probably about 3 or 4 years old now, this classroom. Beautiful classroom. I wish you could really hear them. But they cannot sing without moving. So, and you know, U.S. churches, we can learn a little bit. But I really love it. I enjoy it. Well, we also, not only do I get the privilege of teaching in the Bible Institutes, but I also get the privilege of using a material called Bible Training Center for Pastors. And I have, by the way, I have a copy of the Hermeneutics for Everyone. You can look at it on the way out today if you want. I also have some copies of, there's 10 modules. This is three of them. One is Bible Study Methods, Old Testament Survey, and Bible Doctrine Survey. What I do, and that's what happens in this first picture, I was in Kenya training pastors to use this material to set up classes and to then teach those classes. So I go and I teach them how to use the material, how to set up a classes, and then I help them in that process of setting them up. This was one of our first graduations on the bottom. This was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and some of the students that were there. Now, this has two tracks. They have a training for pastors and they have a training for leaders. All the ladies get the leadership certificate and training, and all the men get, or if they want, the men can get the pastor training. But had two students graduate in June from a small class in Joburg. And November the 1st, we'll have another graduation taking place in Zimbabwe. First class out of Zimbabwe graduating. And we were 3 years getting that class going. And so I'm praising the Lord for that. Can't hear this guy's testimony, but he's one of the students that will be graduating. And he basically is telling you, he's thankful for the training and the class, and particularly Bible study methods. You'd be surprised. This is probably the number one class that they appreciate the most because it is so foundational for them when it comes to studying the Bible and getting it right in their interpretation context. That's why when we went this last to Zim, and we taught this was a big deal because, there's lots of stuff that's out there, whether it's on the internet, whether it's in other teaching, and so it's good to help give them the groundwork. This is Africa. I also have the privilege in working with all the different countries. We are in 11 to 12 countries right now, and I work with applicants that are seeking to become missionaries into these countries, and they're African applicants serving in Africa. this early part of this last year, I had the privilege of helping from a year ago now to the early part of this year. We had three couples and three single men go to board review and then get accepted as missionaries into different countries within, mainly Kenya, Uganda, Liberia, and Togo was the ones that were accepted. Right now I have one from South Africa. I have about four or five in Uganda. I have about three in Kenya. I have one in Nigeria. I have one in the Ivory Coast that I'm working through the process of their applications. So what that means is I'm the first guy that interviews them, and I'm the one that helps walk them through the whole process, getting the rest of their interviews, getting their references filled out, helping them through that process. The most challenging ones I've had is those who speak French, and then getting that figured out. But so I'm looking forward to, hopefully here, before the end of the year, we'll have at least two young men go to board review and become missionaries, and then we'll keep working on with the rest of them, okay? So I do that, throughout the weeks and whatever needs to be done. That's us, Advocates for Africa, our phone number, our email address, so on and so forth. So I'll be available after the service for questions and answer anything I can, but one of the passions that we have and why we do the Bible training, go to the Bible Institute, is we're committed to this whole concept of 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. And so we are committed to that. And that's why I go to the Bible Institute to teach. That's why I do the pastor training. And that's why we continue to work with these younger men. Sabu is doing a great job serving the Lord. And the team there, we have a Chinese couple leading the ministry in South Africa. Back in 2015, they came to the U.S., went to the Bible Institute, 2 years, came back and became missionaries to South Africa, and about 3 years later, 4 years later, became the director of the ministry there, and doing a great job, and just praising the Lord for them. Arthur and Lucy are their names. And so we praise the Lord for what God's doing. Maybe you realize from our prayer letters, but I have one other hat I wear now. I also, a little over a year ago in March, I was approached by Independent Bible Church Ministry, Bob Cosby, and he calls me up and says, "Hey, I have a church that I know about in Marshall that needs an interim. Would you be interested?" I don't know. I don't really need another job. And so after some time, we ended up becoming the interim pastor at this church in Marshall called Rice Creek Community Church. And we've been doing that. And then in January of this year, they called us as their pastor with the understanding that we continue to do the ministry we're doing here and giving us the Sundays and the time to do it, to do all that, and time during the week and so on and so forth. So I don't have any pressure from them other than the normal things I put on myself pretty much. When I'm not traveling, I'm in the pulpit every Sunday morning there and then helping them work through with the goal, and something you can pray with us about. We are praying that the Lord provide someone within the next 3 to 5 years to come alongside and then eventually take over the ministry and live there and make it their ministry. We need a younger couple, basically. And so pray about that. This information will be in the back. I'll take it back with me. But thank you for your investment and your involvement, both financially and prayer for our ministry and what God's doing. And we're excited to just tell you that God's at work and he's doing his things. I could tell you a story of a young man that's going through the application process right now. He's from South Sudan. I taught him in the BI. He's not married. His first wife died of kidney disease. He has a little boy. He hasn't seen his boy for 7 years because he's a refugee from South Sudan into Uganda. And in their culture in South Sudan, if the mother dies, the baby or the child stays with the parents of the mother until he remarries. That's their cultural context. But he's on fire for God. He has 20 to 25 other people, young adults, that he oversees and helps direct them into different ministries, into 150 different churches in South Sudan. So, just exciting to see what God's doing, and he's just passionate for the Lord, passionate for the gospel, and I can't wait to. He's already doing the ministry. He just needs the official involvement and for life backing in that way. So, pray for O'Jimmy. That's his name, O'Jimmy. When you think of the little Jimmy, you know, Jeep, just put an O in front of it and you've got him, okay? Old Jimmy. Great heart for God. And I could give you other examples too, but if you remember the church in South Sudan, South Sudan is in civil war right now. They are in dire needs, okay? So just remember the people there. Nigeria as well, you've probably heard some of those reports. Nigeria is really struggling. We have ministries in Nigeria. Mozambique has been hit, especially in the northern part of Mozambique. And we have missionaries in Mozambique. And I could give you many other. We have young people from a Bible Institute who are from other countries who are going back into their countries and serving. And they're dealing with a lot of turmoil issues in their countries. We have our issues here, okay? Nothing compared to what some of these are dealing with on a regular day-to-day basis. So pray for the Church of Christ in Africa, if you would, please. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for your opportunity just to share what you're doing. And we rejoice in you. And we thank you. Thank you for your work in lives. First, bringing salvation. And secondly, stirring the hearts to go and be a part of your ministry in the world. We thank you for it. Thank you that we get to be a part of it in some way. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.